Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for leading us all tonight in Jesus' name. And I praise you for it, Father. And thank you, Lord, for listening to my prayer beforehand, too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Theo.
Can you hear me?
Ah,
Awesome.
yes. Yes, we can hear you now.
I don't know why it does that every time. It just changes the microphone willy-nilly. All right. Yeah, I had a prayer request. I've been struggling with this leg pain, and it's in my quads. And I didn't do any exercising or anything. That's probably, that might be why it hurts, but I don't receive it. It hurt so bad last night that I couldn't sleep. And I had to walk around, and the only way it wouldn't hurt is if I walked. And so I'd get up and I'd do some, some exercises and some just walking around. And I even got in a bathtub, and the soaking helped it. And then I got out, and it was hurting again. So it's already like 2 in the morning, and I'm trying to sleep. I'm tired, but it just hurts so bad that I can't. And it's like a muscle ache that I've never really had before. And I went, I got dressed. I was like, all right, I want to go to the gym. I'm going to go and, nice. And, work it off or something. So I got fully dressed, got into the van and started, hooking my phone up and stuff. And then I fell asleep in the van, just sitting there.
Praise God.
I got up at 5 in the morning in the van, sitting there. I was like, I'm going to bed. And so I fell asleep for a few more hours and got up this morning, and it still hurt. It's been aching all day, and I don't receive it. I'm done with it. It's got to go. And I'm going to get a full night's rest tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Theo and command
Little
this
Theo got
pain.
Attacked with a fever. Yep.
If I got this delay again. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you do. We don't receive it, though. It's got to go.
In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Theo.
I'm just saying, there's been one attack after another over here with the legs for some reason. Theo had a little fever. We all got together, the whole family, and little Gabe grabbed his feet, and Max grabbed his back, and Lana and I, we prayed over Theo, and he jumped up and he's playing Legos again. He wouldn't get out of bed. He was cuddled up in his blanket. We said, nope, you're going to get up and play. You're good. You're healed in Jesus' name. So that was pretty cool. And
thank
yeah,
you,
it's just going to keep going like that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, that that pain is gone out of Theo's leg. In Jesus' name, and tonight he's going to get a full night's sleep in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's gone. It is gone. It is gone. The word says that by his stripes that he is healed. Jesus took it upon him, so he doesn't have to experience it. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. All right, Missy.
I'd like to pray for Theo. There's just one thing that came to my mind is witchcraft. We break all curses, all witchcraft that may be coming against Theo in the name of Jesus, and we forbid it. All curses are broken. He's not under the curse. No weapon formed against him shall prosper, and every tongue shall rise up against him. We condemn in the mighty name of Jesus. And we don't.
Uh-oh. Quit that, in Jesus' name. Caught her with the mouth open again.
No more.
All right.
Am I still frozen?
No, not
Okay.
now.
Did you not hear me at all?
Yeah, we heard you
I
no
could hear
more.
you all. Well, the enemy's defeated. No witchcraft
Amen.
gone in the
Thank
name
you,
of
Father.
Jesus. All broken.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
All right, anyone else? Hey, Petra. Glad to have you join us, girl. Monroe, good to see you. Terry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I am, yeah.
All right, let's see. Go ahead, Anna.
I want to pray about Elisha had a dream last night, and praise the Lord, he had a dream, and he seems like he's starting to have dreams because before he just thought dreams were made up stories because he wasn't having any. So he seems like he's starting to get dreams. So thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. But this morning he got up and all of a sudden he had this concerned look on his face. He's like, I had a dream last night. I was like, oh yeah, what was it? And he said, there was a dragon outside the window looking in. And it was trying to get in. And I was like, oh really? And Obi said, how many heads did it have? I thought that's really weird. They don't know anything about multiple-headed dragons. Except then Obi then referenced, did it have 7 heads and 10 horns? So I was like, oh, that's where he's coming from. But I know that was the Lord that he asked, how many heads did it have? Because Elisha goes, two. And I was like, he dreamed of a two-headed dragon? How strange. And Obi immediately says, that's double-mindedness. But the armies came and took this dragon away. And so that was good. But I just wanted to pray against double-mindedness trying to get in. We talked about that. David and Michael talked about that last night at a local meeting. So Lord, we cast that down. I thank you for giving Elisha a dream. I thank you for giving over the interpretation like that, Lord. That was so awesome.
Amen.
But we cast down all double-mindedness trying to get in. Anybody sending it, we cast it down. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. We don't receive it. We thank you, Father, that none of these things are gonna prosper against the saints. Lord, help us be diligent to recognize these things, to discern, when this is a spirit of double-mindedness that needs to be cast down or an evil heart of unbelief or whatever it is. And I just thank you, Lord, and we do. We send those armies of angels to go out and take care of our enemies, and we root out double-mindedness. And we thank you, Father, that these things have no power over the elect. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, Joe. Thank you, Anna. That Obi, he just surprises me every time I talk to him. Thank you, Father.
Morning, everybody. I got some good news last week of my youngest son. He started texting me. He showed me a picture of a flat earth and he asked me what I think about it. So that opens a conversation and I can show him about the Bible and about born again. And in other words, he's very much interested now. So I just sent him last night a message from David on truth about baptism because he's not born again. He was Christian as a young baby. And he think that was born again and says, no, that's a big difference. That's completely off the charts. But don't believe that. Read this and understand this when we can talk about. So in other words, I ask for prayer for wisdom to talk into, not to getting too excited about the things, but just tell him what he needs. Don't get into deep things. Just tell him what he needs now to start his walk with the Lord by getting baptized and getting know the Lord first before we going any further. Thank you.
He did. He's asked me to do something.
Michael, he
Lord.
asked you to pray.
Go ahead.
Father, I just I'll pray for Joe. That's okay.
Yeah.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for his communication that Joe has with his son, and that he is interested in the things that Joe wants to share with him about the truth and about the baptism, and that you will give Joe's son understanding, give him revelation. Let him, if he's reading the Bible, Lord, let him ask you for the things that he sees and hears about it, and that you will give Joe the right words to say, that you'll give him discernment and wisdom on how to communicate to his son and not overwhelm him with things, but to just to give him the milk and give him a little bit of meat if he's able to understand some things there, Lord, that you would just take over and you would speak through our brother Joe to his son. And anything else that's on Joe's heart about this meeting and Lord and what you're doing there, that you will give him peace and you will give him revelations about that too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Cheryl. Come on in, David. Come on in.
Amen. Hello, brothers and sisters. I just want to praise the Lord. Last week I was having a really hard time with the enemy coming in and trying to take my faith and take it away from me and condemn me and everything. And I just want to thank if y'all prayed, and I think Julie said y'all prayed for me, and I want to thank y'all for that, because in the midst of the text that I was sending Julie, because she asked me, was I okay? Because I had left abruptly. I just want to praise the Lord that he gave me deliverance and power and faith and to stand up and fight the devil, and that heavy burden was lifted, and I fought the good fight, and I want to praise the Lord for
let me put it on
miraculously, just in the midst of my trial, delivered me and set me back on my feet upon the mountain, the top of the mountain, so I could fight. Because usually I'm in my past, that person that is no more me would always run and would never stand and fight the devil. And I just want to thank the Lord that he's given me the courage and the ability to stand up and fight the devil, and that he's already a defeated enemy. And I just have to stand on the truth, and I praise the Lord for that.
God, that's awesome, Sheriff. Y'all say hello to David. Get over there and see.
Hello. God bless.
Hello, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, David.
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Let me turn mine off so they can hear you. Well, I guess you can't hear, can't you? Could y'all hear it? Say hello.
Hello, hello.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
All right, we're going to pray for Jeff. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. How many of you know that's nothing for God? Okay. I've got a delay in this thing. Don't ask me how. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
All right, let's pray for him. Father, we lift up Jeff to you, and we thank you, Father, that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. This pancreatic cancer is an enemy to Jeff and everybody else. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command this spirit of cancer.
Get him up, Brother Jeff.
We command it to go from him right now in Jesus' name, to dry up and leave his body right now. And we command us spirit of the fear of cancer possibly to leave him too in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that he is completely rid of this cancerous
getting out of
his pancreas in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, he is completely free of cancer in his body or any other thing in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? You'll pray, David.
Thank you, Father.
Die and pass from his body in the name of Jesus. We all agree. You said if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father. So we agree that it is done. It has to happen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I believe it's done. Does everybody believe it's done?
Amen.
All right, amen. Jeff, you can rejoice with God.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
You are free, Jeff.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And I know that he...
Amen. Thank you.
I'm out there washing your dishes for you. That is awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Tell Jeff he's here. God done it.
Thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Jeff, if you're listening, and he probably is, David was healed of cancer at one time. You want to tell that?
Yeah. I was passing blood, and I asked the Lord what it was, and he told me I was battling with the spirit of cancer. So I went across town to this Christian bookstore that I went to every once in a while. It's kind of rare that they were further away than the one that was close to me. But I knew the people there. And when I walked in the building, I noticed that the women there were looking at me like, uh-oh, what's going on here? You know, they looked at me and were walking towards me. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, we've been praying for preachers that we knew. And so when we prayed for you, the Lord told us that you were having a battle with the spirit of cancer. I hadn't told anybody that, you know, and but I knew it was true. So I thanked them, you know, and I told them I knew that that was true, that they got a correct word there, and that I'm claiming the victory. So, on my way home, I said, Lord, I'm gonna ask you to give me a word when I get home. Well, we already got a word, don't we? You know, we know what the Bible said. And we know it's our covenant right, our covenant promise. So, when I got home, some of y'all know the story already. I flipped my Bible open, stuck my finger down, and it said, thou shalt die and not live. So I had enough of the word in me to say, well, Lord, that's not my covenant. That's not the covenant you made with me. You taught me not to depart from the covenant, so I don't accept this. And I'm asking you to give me a word that confirms the covenant you gave me. And so I flipped my Bible up and stuck my finger down blindly, and it said, thou shalt live and not die. The exact opposite. Two places in the Bible, right? I just ignored it. I mean, I just went on about my business, you know, which you can do if you're in the rest, right? You're trusting the Lord, you're in the rest. That's where it's at, you know? So I just went about my business, and the symptoms went away after a period of time, and that was it. That was the end of it. So we don't really have to go and get any, you know, things from men to confirm or not confirm our word that's in the word of God. So, I mean, it's by whose stripes you were healed. It's already done. It's finished. And we just accept it. And that way we rest. We enter into the rest, which is where all of our provision is, in the rest. And it's a rest because it's done already. There's nothing we can do to it, to further it or not, except believe, you know. And so it's been that way with me for many years. It didn't matter what I had or what my children had or what my wife had. Same thing, same answer. You know, he's very consistent.
Dr. Jesus.
Sounds good to me.
How you mean? He can handle it.
Could you hear him, Terry?
Yes, and Jeff said it sounds good to me.
Yeah, thank you, Father.
All right, yeah. You be blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
Just thank the Lord. You don't even have to continue to pray. You can just thank him because it's already done. It's by our work, it's by his word.
All right. I believe it. Y'all believe it, don't you? Jeff is healed. Glory be to God. He doesn't have to fool with that anymore. Just thank God for it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it's done. All right.
The best.
Thank you, Lord.
The rest.
Amen.
Continue on and not worry about it anymore. It's done. It's done.
Amen. Where does that come
from? Amen.
All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
A couple of weeks ago, maybe less, I wasn't actually going to pray about this or think about this or talk about it or anything, but the Lord was taking me through Joshua, and what I have been battling with is I've asked the Lord to heal my eyes. It was two things: heal my eyes and heal my toe. I have an extra growth of toenail on my big toe, and it's not painful or anything, but it's becoming uncomfortable. But and so I asked the Lord to heal my feet, especially my toe, and heal my eyes. And what he was showing me is that the need for me to follow up, not only after having having prayed, but like David has taught us to believe that you have received, and then to speak forth, to vocalize it. And excuse me, so what I have found is that, and the secondary part of that is giving thanks, simply just thanking God for what he has already given me, his healing that he has already provided. And there is, I'm starting to understand, I think, the timeline concept of needing to, of speaking forth and agreeing with that healing and trusting God to bring it into manifestation. And the thing that I have been discovering is that the time duration there tends to bring up opportunities for the devil to throw doubt or anxiety or fear or all of these things in order to create like a double-mindedness or a lack of faith or whatever it would be. And that these things that the devil is throwing at me have a, what am I going to say? They have a potential standing point or resting point in my soul. There's something, let's just say that it feels like when the devil accuses or throws something at me throws a thought of fear or something, something in my soul rises up, and I feel like there's a stronghold or whatever it may be that is there. And so that's where it seems like the battle is at. The battle is not so much resting in the truth as it is this other battle that comes up while I'm going through the process. And it is the temptation for me, I'm to say this on the personal level, because I think maybe because of my personality or whatever, but I tend to, when in opposition comes to me, I tend to clam up and hunker down and just be, I don't know if it would be submissive or maybe passive, or, but it's basically not a back at you, in your face, confrontational battle stance. It's more of a hunker down and allow the storm to pass over. I don't know if I'm being clear on what I'm trying to explain here, but As I was reading in Joshua, especially the taking of Jericho, to me, I thought it was interesting that Jericho was the first, major battle or city that they took. And of course, Jericho was a very, well protected stronghold, and whatnot. It was a huge city with large walls, etc. And in that the Lord told Joshua to command his army to go around that city, simply just march around that city. And then on the seventh day, or I think the sixth day or seventh day, they went around it seven times. And that's when they shouted and broke, the pots, I believe, or whatever, and the walls came down. And it dawned on me at that time that was the same lesson that the Lord is taking me through now, in that through these cycles, through this time duration of a time of marching around this city or this stronghold and praising and thanking the Lord for this thing, that it takes a certain amount of time, I guess, dependent upon the Lord, of when these battles will be significantly overcome. Now, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not. All I'm saying is this is how it feels for me. I think the same other example that I had about it was, I think it was Nahum. If I'm not, who was the soldier, the captain or whatever of the Syrian forces, I believe it was, and he had leprosy, and the maiden from a Jewish maiden, told him if you, you know, went to Israel, you know, you would find the man of God there, and there's healing basically available there. I think it was in Kings someplace or whatever. I think he went to Elijah, if I'm not mistaken. But the point being is when he went to him, I think Elijah told him to go down and dip himself seven times in the river. Of course, he got mad and whatever. But it was as he was dipping himself down in that river, every one of those dips, basically, he came up, and I believe he still had leprosy. But it wasn't until the seventh time when he actually obeyed what the prophet told him, and he dipped down, he came up healed. So the only thing I can think of is there's got to be something in the time duration or the cycle there or whatever that is significant and necessary for us as we're walking into in and receiving this healing. But anyway, I've already prayed. I've already received my healing. So this is more or less just a putting it out before the body as well, and thanking the Lord for it. So I praise the Lord for my healing, my eyes, my feet, and I praise you, Lord, that you are greater than all of these obstacles that we face, either within or without. You are the victor, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with him, Lord, that he is healed in Jesus' name, and his eyes and feet too. Glory
to God. You know what I think it is, Pat, more than the time period? It's the releasing of your faith. It's a point in which you say, here is going to happen. I've done that with other people that had diseases. I'd say, hey, I tell you what, let's do. Let's fast and pray. And on this day, we're going to release our faith, and it's going to be done, you know. And I think that's what it is. A lot of times in the scriptures, there's certain things that he asks us to do. It's a point in which you release your faith. It's not like a general thing, you know. And it certainly seems to work for some people, you know.
Did you hear him, Pat?
Yes, I did. So that point of releasing faith is, what is that, I guess, connected to? Is it connected to the I've had it, I'm not going to take any more of this, or, you know, it's, I guess I'm.
No, it's more like an expectation.
Well, I'm not understanding.
Yeah, you have this expectation on such and such a day, you're going to be healed. And you're putting a deadline there. You know, you're saying that's the time we are releasing our faith, you know. And I've seen it do some pretty miraculous things that way. The most important thing, of course, is to cast down all vain imaginations, because like you said, the devil comes to attack you with every kind of doubt, everything you can see, and everything that people say around you. And so he attacks you with everything to try to break you off from that faith that you need. And so, holding fast the confession of your hope that it waver not is very important. And of course, if you stumble, say something that's contrary to the promise, you can always just repent and get back up and run again. But other than that, we have to cast down all these vain imaginations. We're going through temptations, even like Jesus did. The devil is trying to take from us our covenant right. And the only way he can do it, since the strong man was bound and we've been given authority to plunder him, the only way he can do it is to get us to break off our covenant with him through unbelief. So he's doing what he can do. And he does that according to the will of God. God permits that. He does that to make us strong, to teach us how to fight this battle and how to be consistent and holding fast to the word of faith, you know. And believing we have received. Seeing that smallest particle, you know, that quantum, you know, seeing that particle and that test of our faith. And because obviously we know that particle is only positive if we hold fast our confession. I'm sure Michael has taught, shared on that.
What I...
Go ahead.
I had... There's a concept or whatever of, and this, I guess this is why it seems to hit me. And I guess my personality makeup or however you might want to say it, what I mentioned before is that there's a point of, as we agree with God about the truth, about his word, his promises, and then there can also, and I say this I think for myself, and is there's also the ability to tacitly agree with the devil by our silence. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but without us standing forth and rebuking, refuting, contesting, making known our will related to something that the devil is throwing at us, that if we simply remain quiet, it's a form of tacit agreement. Do you agree with that thought?
Not entirely. I say that once we've told him what to do, the more we argue with him, the more he knows we don't believe him. If we tell him what to do, he has to obey us. And if we keep arguing with him, he knows we don't believe it. So to me, I ignore him, you know. I don't have to talk to him anymore. I already spoke, and that's all that it needs to be done. Is to agree with God and disagree with him. So to me, my silence means I don't care what you say. You know, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. The fact is the fact. The covenant is true, and I'm standing on the covenant. And he actually tries, I believe, to get you into an argument, you know. But there's really no arguing. He's been bound. He has no authority. We've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, you know, and authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any wise hurt us. We've been given that authority. When you got authority, you don't have to argue with anybody. You just say, nope, this is it. This is where I'm standing. I believe the word of God. no matter how long it takes. You know, I do agree that if it takes a while and you do get double-minded, that you're not going to receive. But all you have to do is repent, get back up, and confirm your faith and continue on, you know. And according to the Word of God, you can't lose unless you fall into some willful disobedience or rebellion against the Lord, or you're already in some willful disobedience or something like that. But other than our unforgiveness, that's one of the biggies there, you know, unforgiveness towards other people. Because Mark 11:25, of course, tells you you have to forgive. If you're going to believe, you have to forgive, you know. But other than that, I think it's just a matter of holding fast the confession of your hope that it doesn't waver.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I agree. Now I'm going to implement it.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I'm going to go back to work. It's good to see y'all.
It's a delay.
Okay.
I don't know why, but it is.
Thanks, David.
All right, anybody else? I'm sorry about this delay. It's kind of hesitating for me. It's hard for me to understand sometimes, because I'll be talking, somebody will be talking on top of me, but y'all have patience with me. You got to. All right, anyone else? Amen. The delay is gone. Yes, Judith. I command this delay to go in Jesus' name. Phil, I don't know what's making it do that, but it just started this about a week or so ago. Probably some kind of setting on it. Okay. Anybody else got anything they want to pray about or share before we go into some praise and worship right quick? I got one song I'd like to play. Okay, y'all ready to listen? All right, let's see here.
I'm leaping over a thousand fences and running like a child in open peace. I'm leaving comfort.
Did y'all hear it? Well, I couldn't hear it. That will get out of my computer in the name of Jesus. Good gracious. All right. I'm going to start it over. There's where it is. All right, here we go.
But I was born. I'm leaping over a thousand fences and running like a child in open peace. I'm leaving comfort to chase your presence. That wind I felt before, I want to feel. I'm not bound, not bound to boxes. Since the fire of the Holy Ghost, since the fire of the Holy Ghost.
again to blaze a trail. Some say I'm foolish, but I'm doing just fine. Got a history that proves you never fail. I'm not bound, not bound to boxes. Since the fire of the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, this wild freedom, nothing can stop. Off disappointment, reminding me where my joy is. I'm stepping into something new. You're breaking off disappointment, reminding me where my joy is. I'm stepping into something new.
Thank you. John, there's another case.
Oh, my goodness. You can hear me now. I was muted. It might be a few seconds late. That's okay. You'll catch up. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? No. It's a headset. It's actually the one on my computer field. Microphone array, Realtek Audio. Probably something in the audio setting, but we'll get it later. All right. What y'all got tonight? Anybody got a question or an answer? How many of you getting excited about what's fixing to happen? Amen. I am. I am, because I'm going to tell you something. Oh, glory to God. Start confessing the things that God has showed you. Has showed us what's going to happen. Start confessing it. Start confessing the provision. Start confessing the things that He's told each individual one of you, you know. That's what confessions of faith is all about. You confess those words, those scriptures that coincides with what you're believing for. Lord, I thank you that the bride and the Man Child Ministry has already come to fruition in a way that you know who they are already, and that they are cognizant of walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, and acting like Jesus. That they have done away with the flesh and the world as a part of their life anymore. That the only thing, and I pray this, Father, for all of us, that the only thing that matters nowadays is you and keeping our eyes on you and following you as you lead us through all of this. And I praise you for it. Just like Jesus said in the Gospels, I do nothing unless my Father show me. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we are spiritual men and women listening to the Holy Spirit every day, every step. And I know it sounds to a lot of people Greek, but it's the Word of God. He wants us to be like you, Lord. He wants us to act like you. He wants us you want us to be the Jesuses here on this earth. And the only way we can do that is to lose this flesh, where nothing matters but you, Lord. And I submit myself to you on the altar of God. And I thank you, Lord, for taking away all flesh in the world out of my life, to where I don't have anything but you on my eye, in my eyesight, my spiritual eyesight. Lord, I thank you that you have opened up the avenues for me to hear you more and better every day. It's been better and better every day, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I thank you you're doing it for everybody else, too, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful time that you've got us in, that we're coming into. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for loosening up your bride and your man child where they can serve you 100%. And I break the power of the enemy off of them that would hinder their walk with you, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we all surrender to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody got any questions or any answers? Yes, go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking the other day, it was what I was wondering, these were the thoughts that I was having at the time, is if society should collapse, the grid go down and all communications cease, and you know, would I be strong enough to find my way through the process of you know where God is taking us and leading us through this coming time. And I guess the thought was, you know, my desire is to acquire all of the sensitivity for God's voice that I can get my hands on, so to speak. And whatever struggles or battles or inner hesitations or passivity or whatever, that it can be gone from me, so that in this coming time, I can be, what am I trying to say? I don't want to say be a leader. I'm saying know how to survive. I guess that would be more of what I would want to express. But anyway, because it's kind of funny. I always think, you know, well, for, you know, getting ready to go through the tribulation and getting ready to go through all these struggles and whatever, I'll still have my Bible, and it's like in the back of my mind, I'll still have my Bible and I'll still have my laptop. I can look things up and all of this. But when this thing goes down, you know, let's just say they toss me into a gulag somewhere. They're not going to make arrangements and say, you know what, this guy here is a Christian. He needs to have his Bible with him. So let's make sure we get a Bible in there for him to read. Or anything like that. You know, it's, we are, and it just, it didn't hit me, but it just reinforced the need for us to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, because the voice of the Lord and the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us through these times that are coming could very well be the only lifeline we have. And I know we, you know, I get used to, in the morning I'll get up and, you know, I feel very dry and whatever. I'll just open up the Bible and start reading, and then pretty soon, you know, thinking about things, of the different things that the Lord's showing me through and whatever. But there may come a time when I don't have that Bible. And I need to be able to stand upon my relationship with the Lord, listening to his voice, be sensitive to his Holy Spirit, and be ready to be led and guided by that. And so it seems to me that, you know, as the things that the Lord has been showing us, you know, I think back in Abraham's day, Abraham wasn't packing a library of books out there into, when God told him to, pack up his belongings and head out. I'm going to give you I'm leading you into another land. All he had was God's voice. You know, all he had was God's voice speaking to him by that faith that he had at that time. Now, I grant it that there weren't any printing presses, and there weren't any Bibles, and quite frankly, the law hadn't even been given for a few 100 years after that, or whenever, his sons went into Egypt, etc. So I guess the point that I was coming to is that I need to be sensitive to develop that desire, that heart, that sensitive ear of faith to be listening and be sensitive to his spirit and him guiding us through this life, so to speak, and reinforce what he is telling me, what he is speaking to me about through the word. But so I think maybe I'm saying the same thing that you were saying, Michael, to becoming, you know, reinforcing that sensitivity to his voice. But I was thinking of that verse in Romans, what is it, Romans 8, I don't know, 20 or something like that. They that are led of the Spirit, these are the sons of God, if I'm not mistaken. And I guess it just seems like maybe that's where God is Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by God's Spirit, these are God's sons. I don't know what version that's out of, but there, you know, there is a, I guess that's just what the Lord is kind of, you know, impressing upon my heart these days, is to become sensitive to his voice. And, so that's my prayer for us all. Amen. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Then that brings up a question that I'd like to pose out there to you. What do you do during your personal time with the Lord to access his voice? Who wants to be first? Okay, Missy.
Sometimes it's not always the same thing. It seems to be different at times. You know, I'll pray in the spirit, you know, and but it seems like the Lord speaks to me in a combination between that and reading the word. I mean,
okay.
Praying in the spirit and reading the word. Because it's like, sometimes, you know, this fire dart may be coming in and all that, you know, all these like distracting thoughts that the enemy wants to bring in, or just, you know, or even just your carnal mind, you know, and it could be just the enemy too, you know, well, what are you going to do later on today? And I want you to kind of get off sideline like that. And sometimes I find that it's almost like the more I try and cast that down, the more problem I have with it. I'm better off getting my mind off of it by sitting down and reading the word. It helps clear my mind, get my mind thinking on that rather than all these fiery darts. So.
That's a good way. The word is him talking to you, isn't it? Amen. All right, who's next? I'll go ahead and tell you what I do. I'm like Missy, I like to pray in the spirit a lot. And I do. I pray in the spirit a lot. And I've seen the fruit of that. And it brings me into the spiritual realm a lot quicker than if I hadn't done it, any praying in the spirit. And I'll do just like Eve told me to do. I'll sit down in my chair, be quiet, and then ask the Lord, come talk to me. And I'll ask him questions like, Lord, what is it you want me to know today? What is it about me that you want me to know? What is it? Is there anything that I'm doing that I need to address in a different way? You know, stuff like that. And God will answer. And not that I'm special or not, but I just here in the last six months or so, I could hear him even when I'm walking in and praying in the spirit talk to me. That's awesome too. And anyway, that's basically what I do. I just I like to just sit and listen to him tell me, and I'll have a notebook and a pen with me every time I do it to write it down to make sure that I understand what he's saying to me. I came across some old notes that I had made, gosh, been some time ago. That boy just set me on fire again, Lord God. It was awesome. Okay, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I just want to speak in a way where you were all once little children, and if you ever had a time with your father where you either knew you were in trouble or you're trying to present your report card to him, you know, it's not that good or something. And so here you have a Heavenly Father, and he's an awesome God. He's in control of all things, everything. You think that he doesn't know you inside it, that he doesn't even, he knows everything about you. He knows every temptation you went through. He knows when the devil's trying to put something in your head. Do you think he's not going to come at you with what you're the best at and say, for instance, he can just say, well, here's my son. He's kind of nervous about something now. Because you can't really speak to what's going to come in the future, because the Lord is in control of everything that comes. So isn't he going to give you what he wants to give you at that point in time? If you see him as Father, and you know you all have this amazing Father, it's an almighty God, all-knowing God. You can't hide anything from him. You're an open page, you know, and he knows every single intricate thing about you, even the things that bother you. And won't he come to you to encourage you in your time of need? Won't he come to you at that point in time where, well, he's been going through this maybe all his life? You know, does God get tired? No, he doesn't. We get tired. But, you know, the Lord will say, you know, this is a struggle for him. He's been doing the best he could with what he has all this time. I'm going to give him something now. I'm going to give him something that's going to show him beyond the shadow of a doubt that he's in charge, and he's going to do it. He's going to do this because of the cross and resurrection. Because he loves you. And though you're trying to know God, they talk personal relationship. They never give you a verse, you know. And there's one there, you know. He's in 1 John 4:7. And there's something really wonderful in that verse on what I know everybody has to the extent that they have it. So why wouldn't he not ignite that in 1 John 4:7? So that you can use your NENT for this one. No. So you can use that. And he'll give it to you. Just because he's given to you that from the beginning. From the very beginning, from the first day you heard from him, he gave you that. So I just want to give people encouragement for that, because we have an almighty God and Father, creator of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen. You know, we talk about that smallest thing you can have. That smallest atomic, the electron that goes around the atom. That's smaller than the atom. But he can ignite that in you because he's God. Don't have any qualms about your flesh. He's busy doing that for you. Because God has to take care of both the belly and the flesh that's in you. And he's trying to purify you and make you a filled with his life abundantly, so it's overflowing. And he can do that in a flash. You people who are fathers or parents or had parents, everyone had one. And you would just see that your parent will see you have a struggle here. Is he going to trip you? Or is he going to help you? Is he going to lead you along? And if you do slip and fall down, isn't he going to come over and help you up? You know what? You see a toddler. And anyone who had some family life where, you know, it's a new granddaughter or grandson. You're the dad. And the toddler's walking along. Gets up, goes, crawls to the coffee table, puts his arm up on the coffee table, shoulder high, and people are watching because everyone's in the living dining room watching this going on, and all eyes are on the newest in the family. And it's just this little toddler in her diapers walking around. And then she reached the end of the coffee table, and the end table is there. And she's going to go across. No hands to the end table, and everyone's going to watch this, and they're going to be in awe of it, you know, that this walk is happening. And we have a walk to do that's been paid for. We have hands that are paid for. You know, we have the thought of Christ. It's going to come there when it's needed. Might not be needed now. And as for an arrest, well, the best of us were arrested and put in prison. Because we know that in the Bible. But you know, I forget who those two ladies were when the Nazis came and arrested them. They snuck a Bible in with them. And she was reading it to everyone. It was a lot, small pocket size. I'm not saying you go buy one.
this is God, you know. Can he present something like this? Can he not do this? Is he not powerful enough? I mean, does someone have to get married 7 times? You know, don't be so sad, you see, because the Sadducees had it wrong. And he said to them, you don't know the power of God. God can supply your need. He sets the table. And if anywhere, you know, it'll be there. It'll be there, and he can make it appear if no one has it. So I'm just saying, this is a point of encouragement. Don't. Jesus is making his walk. You know, you're talking about the root de la rosa, whatever. He's making his walk. Do you think the Father didn't have at least a few angels there or someone encouraging him? Do you think Jesus' love faded for what he was doing this for in his mind, as it says even in the Bible, in Hebrews? So that said, you know, when the time comes, he has to be there. And we know what's going to happen, because you've read it several times in the book of Revelation. You know what happens from chapter 12 to chapter 13. And you know what you have to do. I mean, I'm sure he can rehearse that with you several times over and over, right into chapter 14. Whether it be a few words here or there, you know what you have to do. You know the stand you have to take. Regardless of where you're at. Because we have to allow them to do this work. You should know your Father by now. I mean, what were you doing all this time? Putting your thumb in your ear or something? No, we have a wonderful Father. He's gonna do that. Not that I'm in a competition with anyone here, but with trusting God. The Lord will remind you of things that you looked up. He'll remind you of things that was in your own walk. He'll remind you of things that were in the Lord's walk, in Paul's walk, in Stephen's walk, in John's walk, in Peter's walk. Why not? He might even remind you of things of the old covenant people. Some of the big persons, or maybe even just that young servant that told this great man, go look to the Lord here. You know, like Naaman, who needed to be healed. Go look to the Lord. Little girl, or I can't remember the story, but, you know, Abraham came out of his city. Which way do I go? I don't know. Did he come out of Ur and say, well, Lord, which way do I go? Go west, young man. No, he just went that way. You know, you are the new person now that has no fear to know the Lord can lead you. And if you're going in the wrong direction, he'll turn you around. If you're going in the wrong direction because you're supposed to get entrapped in something here, well, the other day I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 7, And it's a regretless repentance unto salvation. And we're still to work out our salvation. You're supposed to be regretless no matter what, wherever he puts you. And he'll even tell you what the regretless salvation is. It's right in the next verse on that chapter 7. The new feel as if that the Lord is putting you in a position that maybe you think you shouldn't be in? No, you don't regret whatever he's going to do with you. No, if he wants you to go down that path, then you go down that path because that's where you have to go. And if it's a path that's going to lead you to a place where you're going to learn something about the Lord or get more glory from him, then that's what you have to do at that point. But that's what the Lord wants you to have at that point. And whether it be a painful thing, and some of us I know have been through some real pain. But there is something there on the other side of that painful thing that the Lord has for you. For all of us. Even your pain helps someone else's pain or sorrow that he's going through. And that is what the Lord did. And we have no regrets. It's not something you can just say that it comes to you because you read that portion word there. It's something he takes you through. And it's really neat that he explains every single step there. And it's unto salvation. It's progressive. Got to look at those untos. You know, I one of the parameters that I used to have was John 3:16. You know, I was going, man, people quote this John 3:16 a lot. And the other day I was looking at it in the numeric English New Testament. And it's unto. Unto. Even the verse there in 18 is unto. And it's a progressive state. And if you compare that to what it says in Philippians chapter 3, what Paul said about himself, even with all the knowledge and stuff he knew that he was perfected going into perfection unto. He wasn't going to be satisfied till he had it in body. And then you can erase the unto. When you crown the Lord with many crowns, because it's all his crown anyway, because it's one body. Praise and glory to God. And I hope it encourages people. I mean, if you saw that you had a real good prize and you got someone inside of you running for it, then won't you finish the race with him? Especially if it's a 2 Corinthians 6:16, when you have God inside of you, God the Father. And that's how we know him. Because of what he has for us as the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. Praise and glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
I just want to say something, man. I don't even know where all that came from, but it comes when you need it, okay? And it comes because it's supposed to come, okay? And I don't know. You just get that sword and just start swinging it back and forth. Even if you don't think there's anything up there, you just do it. Because it has to be done. You know, I'll say I'm guilty. I've sat on my sword, you know, like get it out. You know, I've left the shield over there. You know, I got to go get and chase my shield, you know. Be excited, you know. I don't know. Maybe you got to go bother your brother. Take two cardboard tubes and have a sword play. I'm getting you back for when I was 13. Anyway, praise God.
Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else on how you talk to the Lord? Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Okay. Well, that's something I just got received over here. Go ahead, Julie.
Do you need to go ahead first, Michael, or something?
No, huh?
Oh, okay. I guess in addition to what you all said was, you know, sometimes I'll just start worshiping the Lord and telling him I love him and tell him how great he is and have, you know, music playing, you know, to worship, or I'm doing spiritual warfare, praying in tongues or whatever. And then, you know, sometimes just getting quiet and just sitting there waiting on the Lord and trying to meditate on him and trying to meditate on his word. And then sometimes I'll just hear him speak, or I'll start asking him questions or just telling him, you know, what I'm thinking or feeling, or, you know, the things that are on my mind or on my heart. Or I'll ask him for a word and just say, where do you want to speak to me? And just do like a random verse or something and go from there. I guess, you know, sometimes it just depends on what the day is, you know, or whatever. You know, sometimes if you wake up oppressed, you know, you got to start praying anyway, right away, or start doing warfare. And but yeah, mostly it's just sometimes I'll be laying in bed and just listening to a Bible study or just trying to be quiet. And sometimes I'll hear him, and or sometimes say, you know, it's like, well, maybe you just want me to pray to you, you know. So, yeah, but praying in tongues mostly, I guess, you know, kind of bring, you know, it's, and there's been times too, and I was praying in tongues that I was like, I kept repeating a phase. I kept repeating, I found that I was hearing, you know, what I was saying. It was just like a repetitive, phrase or whatever. And I was like, Lord, what am I saying? And he told me, okay, you know, it just came in and gave me the interpretation. What am I praying over and over and over? You know, sometimes I've recognized words that I've, you know, in another language, like, I think they're Hebrew, because I've recognized like, the Hebrew interpretation of some of the words that I've studied or something in verses. And I'm saying that, you know, it's about him, you know, like who he is, which I think is kind of neat, you know, and, so. I don't know if there's a wrong way or a right way. It's just, you know, Lord, I want to talk to you. You know, telling them there's songs about there. Lord, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to touch your face. I want to be in your presence. And I want to, you know, I'm just telling them that, you know, I want those experiences that you know, other people have had, Lord. You know, I'm here. Talk to me. You know, I want to hear you. Right? I'm your daughter. Talk to me. I need to hear from my dad. No, so That's just kind of how I've grown in that. So. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Did I tell y'all about Jesus showing up at the meeting on Monday a week ago? Did I tell you about him waving at me? Okay. Yeah. That told me then that Jesus has got a real sense of humor. And it made me feel real at home. At first I was weird because Jesus was waving at me and everybody's looking. Am I going to wave back? But he was laughing at me because I was scared to wave at him. And he just got laughed real big, just took off. I thought, oh no. But he has a sense of humor that is just outstanding. Fits me to a T. I enjoyed it. But he is a very gracious and merciful God that we serve. If we would just, when things arise that we know we shouldn't have been doing, and just go ahead and immediately repent from it, get back in his good graces, you're right back where you were before. It's not, you don't lose that much ground when you just get right back and get, tell the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. That just slipped by me and I'm so sorry. He's already forgotten it because you said that. That's the great I am. That's the great God that he is. He's got so much grace and mercy for us. I mean, look at me, for goodness sake. It took me 50 years to get to know him. Good gracious, he had a whole lot of grace and mercy on us. Praise God. And to understand his character, and that character is what we should be showing the world through the light of Jesus. When he says, when you pray in my name, that doesn't mean use in my name as a mantra. That means you're standing in his stead, in his character. That's what you're standing in. You can say it, and it's okay to say in my name, but you don't have to, because you're doing it because you're doing it for Jesus. That's how great he loves us. You're standing in his, you're his ambassador. You're standing in his place whenever you minister or whatever it is. And that's what I always try to remember is I don't always keep it there, that I mess up, have to go back to the Lord and tell him I'm sorry and let's get it right to help me this time, da 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 da, like we do. And gosh, the love that he has for us is, it showed me the love that he had for us that Monday night, that he came in and just sat an hour with us and watched us and just wanted to be with us. And he was, I'm telling you, the love was just exuding out of it. And that was, and he's doing that to all of us. He's doing it to all, it's not just our group, it's everybody. God is so awesome. Glory to God. I'm going to be glad when I could, we'll save that for a later time. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, one thing I did want to address tonight. Uh, How many of you think, let me ask this way, not ask it, but just make a statement here. Like that song we just got through listening to, you cannot put God in a box. And by that, I mean, just because you haven't read it in the Word of God doesn't mean that it's not being done. Now, well, hear me out. The Word of God says in John 21:25. Somebody get that verse and read it. Does anybody know what it is? That's the one where
what's it said?
John 21:25. Last verse, 21. That's just one. There's many more. I can paraphrase it for you. And there are also many other things which Jesus did.
You want me to read it?
The which, if they should, wait a minute, that don't look right. Let me see here. Oh, yeah.
And many other things also are which Jesus did, and the which, if they be written every one, I suppose that not even the world itself would contain the books written.
What does that mean? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, a lot of people come here and they give testimony and they say things, and a lot of things that you went through your lifetime on your journey are all written there. And not only you, but everyone else from the time of the cross and resurrection and even before it, right back to Adam and Eve. So that's a lot of things.
That's a lot of
things. You know, you have these little testimonies. No, I want to find my keys, Lord. Show me where my keys are. That's written somewhere.
Not written in, well, but it's not in the Word, the literal Bible that we have right now. But it's in the book, isn't it?
Amen. It's in the book of life.
Yeah.
And we. It's a life of all of us. Some people go to heaven and their life is a recording. You know, we know how to record things here on earth, but how does God record them? Jesus did speak about when he was making his triumphant entry about the stones shouting at his entry, they were silent. Maybe it's already recorded there because they were already doing it.
What does
man use?
Yeah, Andrew, let me stop you just a moment if I can. What I wanted to get across is to this. If you, just because you didn't read it in our Bible, doesn't mean that it can't happen. That's what I'm saying. There are things that are going on that people haven't, in their religiosity, don't understand, doesn't mean that it's not happening. And
just like the guy who being taught how to read, and that thing he gave us in the email, the guy who was taught how to read.
Yeah,
like I can just picture the angel there teaching him. Okay, say this way. And he didn't know how to read.
And he wasn't the only one.
I was tickled when I read.
Yeah. What about Paul Grubbs that found himself straddling an airplane, telling a guy how to which way to go in order to land and be safe. That ain't, where is that Bible? That's in Second Condominium, chapter 3, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, go ahead, Pat.
And that's kind of what I was thinking before, is that I think the Lord, you know, he takes us into the Bible, because that is the light of the Word, and he is that Word. But he is not bound, he's not limited by, he's not, that sounds almost, he's not limited to the parameters that are written in that word. He is only limited by not violating the word, the spirit of the word, the truth of the word. And he can't violate it. He is the word. But, and I guess that's where I was, you know, thinking that, you know, he has brought us into the word. And I know what, one of the things, you know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I wasn't in Christianity, wasn't in church, or you know, I the only thing I had was the Bible that I was reading. And once the Lord opened up my eyes to who he was, and I gave myself to him, then he had to lead me, in the next year, led me into the church setting, and it took me through that process, because I had no concept or no awareness of its submission, or you know, yielding my will, or forgiving, or any of the things of, you know, grace and forgiveness and submission and obedience. You know, these were all foreign terms to me and foreign concepts, and God had to lead me into that process. But it was by his spirit and by the guidance of his voice that I had received and learned and was seeking, you know, I sought for that relationship or to know God. And then it happened. And then I had that sense of his voice, or, you know, my one eye always up on him to, you know, see what's going on type of thing. But I didn't know any of the rules or regulations, you know, and, you know, how to walk in this process, or even a concept of where God was going to take me as a result of that. All I knew is that I wanted to be with him. And likewise, I think in the same concept, he brings us into the word, the Bible, so that we have a framework from which to assimilate the life situations that God brings us through, so to speak, so that we have examples and understand, and we're able to respond and learn to respond in faith. We see these examples and these truths and all this revelation in the word that we can wrap our mind around and our heart around until it transforms us. But all of that is for a purpose. It's like discipleship sanctification. That process in our life is for the purpose of bringing us into that completed, perfected life of Christ in so that it is whole with the spirit and the soul and the body, and it's all whole, one. So that sanctification process, there's a purpose for that, and the purpose is perfection or completeness. And likewise, there is a reason for this written word of God, that written word becomes second nature within our spirits and in our heart, and so that we're able to, I believe that God wants to bring us back around to that very pure relationship of communication that Adam enjoyed in the garden when, you know, in the beginning. So anyway, so I think not that we, you know, not that we discount or anything that's in the Bible. It's all relevant. It's all true. But once it, you know, once God puts it in, with that scripture that I just put in the chat, this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord, that I will put my laws in their mind, and on their heart also will I write them. And the end result of that process is I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And, you know, obviously everybody knows that our God, that we consider him God, but he's saying, and I will be to them a God. Like, not only is it true, but it will have the impact of that reality, and everyone around will see it and understand it. We'll see that this house of Israel really believes in God, in that he is the only God, one and only. So I don't know. I think, I don't know, I'm kind of rattling now, but that was just kind of the feelings that I had related to not putting God in a box, you know. Because he is greater than all of our comprehension, and he's only expanding that more and more every day. So praise the Lord.
Amen. What I'm trying to get across to everybody, and I want to do this in a way that you would understand that, like Pat said, you can't put God in a box. Listen, we've got whole denominations that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've got whole denominations that don't believe in it, God's healing power. We've got whole denominations of people who don't believe the whole Bible. And there's some of us that don't want to confine God to just what we understand here. How many of you know that you can teach healing? God's healing methods. Does anybody know that? Yeah. You can teach it. How many of you know you can teach deliverance? Yeah, you can teach deliverance. I'm going to stretch you a little bit more. How many of you know that you can be taught how to translate? Uh-oh. Now we're going to stretch some people. Well, it's just like healing or deliverance. You can be taught how to get into the presence of God and allow that to happen. It's not that you can do it when you want to, but you can be taught how to get into the presence of God and let it happen. That can be done. And so that's what I'm saying. You can't put God in a box. Just because you don't understand it or never heard it before doesn't mean it's not happening. Doesn't mean it at all. I'm seeing this every day. I'm seeing David talk to the angels. I'm seeing him doing things that if I told you, you'd have a problem with it, probably. Or if you wouldn't have a problem with it, praise God, you'd believe it. Because I can tell you this, Marcel, there are things going on in the spirit realm that we cannot put limits on it. Or if you have a problem with it, don't go to somebody and say, well, I just don't believe that, da, and this is crazy, you know, da, 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 da. Go to God and ask him. That's what you do. You go to the Lord. You don't go to somebody else and say, well, this guy is doing this and this guy believes that. That's faction. But you go to the Lord or go to that person and say, man, you're going to have to explain this to me. That's just the way the word says to do it. But anyway, I just wanted to get that across to you that we can, in the times that we're coming at, if you get you, the Lord wants you somewhere, you say, Lord, it's just like the guy I was telling you about the other night. The Lord said, I want you to go over to France. I got some stuff over in Europe. I want you to do something over in Europe. Lord, I ain't got no money. I ain't got a passport. I ain't got nothing. He said, pack your suitcase, go down to the airport, get in the third stall from the left down in the men's restroom. So he packs his little bag, goes down to the airport, gets in the third stall from the left. He gets in there and he says, okay, Lord, now what? He said, get out, go out into Paris. Do what I told you to do. He said, oh, okay. So out he went. He found out he was in an airport in France. Now, is that in the Bible? Come on now. I'm just saying. Don't put God in the box. Paul Grubb found himself straddling that airplane like I was telling you about a while ago. That ain't in the Word of God. But it happened. He found it 20 years later. 20 years later, the man confessed that he got lost one time in an airplane. And this weird guy showed up on his fuselage and gave him directions on how to get his plane landed in the place where he wanted to be. He said, I don't know how it happened, but this crazy looking guy told me how to get there. He never told anybody until that time. And Paul Grubbs heard about it. He laughed. He said, yeah, that was me. Oh, I had that wild airplane tamed down, man. That's awesome. But the point is, don't allow your religiosity to confine you to what you just believe. Remember who God is. He created this vast universe that we live in. He knows a whole lot more than we do. He does. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for opening up our horizons in the spiritual realm to believe everything that you tell us is the truth. And Lord, I ask for discernment, great discernment in the Word of God, Lord, that we wouldn't be carried away with other stuff. It's not the supernatural, Lord. It's the spiritual aspect of it that we want to walk in. We want to walk with next to you. When I go walking, you taught me when David told me one day, he said, I have Jesus go walking with me. I said, get out of here. He said, yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to do the same thing. So I went walking. I said, come on, Jesus, let's go. He said, let's go, Michael. I said, whoa, let's go. Off we went. That's the spiritual realm. If you told that to some people, they'd look at you like you were some kind of nut. I can tell y'all because you're not looking at me like I'm the kind of a nut. You're just laughing at me. That might be worse. I don't know. But anyway, don't put God in a box. These days ahead, he's going to have you doing things that you never thought possible. If you just press in. How you do that, Michael? You sit down and talk to the Lord every day. Try to do it every day. I try to. It's not, sometimes it gets so busy around here, it's impossible to do it, but I try to do it. David and I both do. And I'm sure most of y'all do too. So I'm going to pray and believe that God's going to work this in all of us and give us all understanding. Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up at our fellowship the other night. It was awesome. I got a better sense of your nature, Lord, when you messed around with me there. That was awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I just ask that you do that for everybody here. Well, I know you've already done it. Just all we got to do is press in, get in there and understand who you are. You love us all. And you can be in more places than one. And I know that. And we're all in more places than one right now. We're seated in with Christ in heavenly places. And also we're here, aren't we? That's two different places. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the time that we spend with you. And, Lord, we ask for better understanding in the things of the spirit realm. Not to show somebody who we are, but to draw closer to you, Father. That's our main goal, is to draw closer to you and to have you next to us at all times and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're there with us, and we trust you to take care of us and guide us and lead us into the things that you'd have us to do, Father God. And I praise you for it. And I thank you for doing that for all my brothers and sisters too, in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us tonight or today, whatever it is, wherever they are. And Lord, lead us and guide us, or give us a good night's sleep with lots of good dreams, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. We'll see y'all next time.